you are bringing your music to the communities you visit. Are you also seeing yourselves as a type of ambassador in any way?
We do think of ourselves as cultural ambassadors, or as one, do you remember who put it this way, as cultural diplomats? I don't recall who said that.
I think it might have been Hubert H. Humphrey.
Yeah.
In the letter of commendation we received back in
That's
the,
right.
In
That's
the,
right. That's
during
right.
Cold War, yeah.
Diplomats of Solm is what Senator Humphrey called us once upon a time when we were a big splash during the Cold War. And at that time, we thought of ourselves as both educating Americans about the beauty of Russian culture at a time when McCarthyism was rampant, anti-Russian hysteria was on the rise, and as we began to tour the Soviet Union, we were, first of all, bringing to Russia American music from Yale and from, and you know, spirituals that we would sing that could not be heard live in the Soviet Union and only on smuggled CDs and whatnot. And we were also bringing some music, especially spiritual music, that had been suppressed by the Soviet Union. And as Americans, we were immune, basically, to being sent to the Gulag, and we would perform on the street, sometimes at risk to ourselves, to try to get this music out there and show Russians both that Americans valued their culture and that that we were able to, we had a sort of, we were showing them something about American freedom as well. So there was this whole political and diplomatic element to it, but above all, the idea that music transcends political boundaries and is a way of moving past them.
And that's the historic perspective. And now we're in a different time where a lot of Americans, when they hear about Russia, we think about interference with the 2016 election and the relationship between President Trump and President Vladimir Putin. What do you make of all of that? And do you have any kind of message you bring with you regarding American-Russian relations today?
You know, the odd thing is that even though times have changed, our message hasn't really. I recall yesterday at a concert, there was a moment afterwards when somebody came up and said, "Thank you for your songs. What you showed me is that we are more the same than we are different." And that's the basic purpose of our performances. Here, audiences always greet us enthusiastically. They love to hear the music, and I honestly think they're tired of hearing about the politics. And having this cultural element is a nice change. In Russia, where I've been the last year doing a Fulbright, but also organizing a tour, I've had nothing but enthusiasm from Russians there who want to forget about the politics and are begging us to come to their festivals to organize concerts so that they can hear, as well as our Russian music, hear American spirituals because they love American culture. They love American music. They watch American movies. And I think so on both sides of the Atlantic, I think people are a little bit tired of the political discourse and ready for something new. And so, again, our message that music rises above that and it's worth pursuing on its own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would agree with that. I think, so the Yale Russian Chorus sings in a style that has been lost in Russia. In this day and age, we sing in the style of the Jerof Don Cossack Choir, who were defectors from the Soviet Union back in the early 20th century, who sing with great emotion and intensity and really try and tell the story of the songs they sing, and we sing in that style too. And it's I've heard from Stepan that the Russians are really excited to be reintroduced to this historical style. And Americans are always really receptive because the emotions that we sing with are universal. We sing love songs. We sing songs of victory and of tragedy and of loss. These are things that Americans understand very well, just as Russians do.
Music is a great equalizer, is it not? A sort of universal language that we share.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a language that goes deeper than the words. Sometimes you can hear a melody and you know exactly what the song is about, even if it's just sung on a la or if it's just hummed. And you know that it's about tragedy, or you know that it's about rejoicing, or you know it's a wedding song. And it's this common human language that it's like it predates words in a way.
Are you both native Russians? Were you born in Russia?
I was born here, but in a Russian-speaking family. As for Brooks?
My only connection to Russia is that I'm friends with Stepan.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to have Russian heritage to be a member of the chorus?
Not at all. In fact, most of us do not speak Russian. I speak a little. We have a couple fluent speakers, but by and large, most people are both not native musicians and not native Russian speakers at all.
Did you have a real personal interest in the history and the culture of Russia?
I didn't at first, but I have sort of developed one over the course of being in the chorus. As we learn the stories behind the songs, it's made me want to find out more. And it really is quite an interesting and rich tradition to learn about if you have the time.
Well, thank you both. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. То ли мне не ягода, да, то ли мне не вина, я да, я цветочек савела, да, я цветочек савела. Кинусь, оброшусь, я да, кинусь, оброшусь, я да, камалоцу на колени, камалоцу на колени. Я на молодца гляжу, да, я на молодца гляжу, да, скажи, душа, скажи, света, скажи, любишь, али нет, скажи, душа, скажи, света, скажи, любишь, али нет, а я любить-то не могу, да, наглядеться не могу. Пойду ли виду, я да, пойду ли виду, я да, вода, вода, риночку, да, вода, по широкую, сам. Я беру, я да сам, я беру, я да спину, я да ягоду, я спину.